Well, so I want to say thank you to Sister Denzi for filling in, being a substitute there at the piano this morning. And we've got a lot of different things going on. By the way, I want to again express my gratitude to Open Door Baptist Church, and what I mean by that is individuals. You have done a great job during all this COVID situation. And all I mean by that is people have been very, very responsible when they've been around somebody that they either knew had it or possibly got exposed or that type of thing. You've stayed away, and that is ongoing. And we need to continue to do that. Our philosophy has always been, even before I ever thought about Open Door Baptist Church, that we try to keep from making each other sick. And I think that's a pretty good policy to have. And I just thank you for what you're doing in that regard. We've got some folks out this morning because they've been potentially exposed. And so they're being very, very responsible in that way. And we're greatly appreciative. Of course, we want to thank the Lord for what he's done in our midst. It could change tomorrow, but I know of churches who have had massive numbers of cases, churches that you and I would know well in their church, and it just kind of happens that way. Oftentimes, the Lord has so far kept that from being a situation here at our church, and I want to be very careful to thank the Lord for his protection in that regard. I also want to say that it's so good to see our friends. The Coley's back with us this morning, and we were praying for them as they traveled Tuesday and Wednesday. 34-hour trip and three plane rides. We were hearing about their plane rides this morning. So glad that they're back with us. I know these are not the circumstances that any of us would really want, but I am in that regard thankful for the circumstances. It's been a blessing to get to know them. And we are now going to be able to have our special Sunday school time, Lord willing. We had announced that for quite a while, and we're never able to kind of pull it together. And we're going to do that very, very soon. And so we're looking forward to that as well. Go in your Bibles, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 44 this morning. Ezekiel chapter 44. We're going to read a few verses for our text. We're going to begin in verse number 15. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse number 15. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me. And they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them whiles they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. Drop down to verse number 23. And they, these same Levites who are priests, the sons of Zadok, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in controversy, they shall stand in judgment. And they shall judge it according to my judgments. And they shall keep my laws and my statutes and all mine assemblies. And they shall hallow my Sabbaths. I want to bring a message this morning entitled, Let's Put the Holy Back into the holidays. Let's put the holy back into the holidays. Let's pray this morning. Father, once again, we come to you because you are the one that has everything that we need. And Lord, I'm thankful that you use people. You use our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, in some ways, you use even lost folks to help supply needs. And Lord, we're able to learn from people and glean from folks. But really, it all comes from you. Without you, we have nothing. Without you, we are nothing. Without you, we can do nothing. And so we come to you this morning needing all that you have to give us. And I pray, Lord, that it would be specific for every individual in this room or online. And Lord, we truly would, as believers, have holiness in the holidays. Help us concerning that matter. And Lord, if there's one here under the sound of my voice who does not know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that before the day is done, they'll get it settled. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, can you believe that the holidays are upon us? Considering all the various happenings in our world in 2020, we would seemingly never get here. And yet, here we are. I trust that in the case of believers in this assembly, that we approach the holidays differently than the general population, which sees so much of the holidays enveloped, devoured by commercialism. I trust that Thanksgiving would mean so much more than just family and the feast and football, that we would live out the admonition of Psalm 100. Many of us learned it from memory as children. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Please understand that in no way am I telling us that we can't or that we shouldn't enjoy the festivities. We should. And we should give thanks. But notice the title of these days. We sort of lose the sense of what the title actually is, holidays or holy days. These days, along with all the rest of the days and seasons, should be dedicated, hear me this morning, they should be dedicated to the giver of the day. I dedicate this day to the giver of this day. That's the Lord. And tomorrow I dedicate this day to the giver of this day. And did you know every day of the year we should dedicate to the giver of the day? Real thanksgiving recognizes the great giver of love and life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. If we are truly and sincerely to acknowledge Him in all our ways, as we are told to do, we might stand ready for a full reminder as to who He is. I've got news for you that in 2020, He's still the same as He's ever been. He's still holy. Yes. Enter His gates and courts with thanksgiving and praise, but don't leave off from being holy. Now, we like to talk about those aspects and elements in our limited understanding or our limited teaching of them. Yes, let's be thankful, and yes, let's give praise and give a shout to God and be happy in the Lord and all those sorts of things. But there is a way by which we come into the presence of God. And we cannot leave out this aspect of holiness. In our text passage, we find a group of priests jumping to the head of the line, so to speak, in relationship and ministry to the Lord, and a group losing their place in line because of the matter of the importance of holiness to God. You see, God had established a specified group of his priests to, quote, keep the charge of the sanctuary, which means a sacred place, and the charge of the altar where those sacrifices were made. You can read about that in Numbers chapter 18. While another group was to, quote, do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. In other words, there were those that sort of had the privilege of being able to go in closer to where the actual presence of God was in the tabernacle or later on in the temple, and that was their established place. It was established by God. It wasn't necessarily because of their own goodness as a basis for why God chose that group. Then there was another group, and they had the service of the tabernacle. They sort of took care of the ancillary issues, if you will. These were sort of the doorkeepers and sort of the maintenance folks. And these sort of group of people, each were very important. Each place had great importance in the house of God, but God specified these groups. The group closest to the action seemingly took for granted the privileges and responsibilities of their position. By the way, we could see this in humankind. We can see this with the Jewish people. God calls them his chosen people. He calls them the apple of his eye. And they really had such a privileged position, but there were responsibilities that went along with it. This is part of Ezekiel's message. We'll get into it here in a little while. He speaks to a rebellious people and he says, you want to keep on rebelling against me? I'll put you to the back of the line. And really, that's what's occurred with the nation of Israel. It's not that God has forgotten them or completely forsaken them, but he's put a veil over their eyes and he says, I'm going to go to the Gentiles and I'm going to set you aside. And really what's happened is he's moved them for a time to the back of the line and moved the Gentiles, praise God, to the front for a time. God shifted the roles so that the first were last and the last were first. Folks, the Christian life is not all about us. It's still in 2020 all about Him. And so what we want to do this morning, we want to look at this occasion that happens. We want to see what this holiness has to do with the holidays. And I'm really just using the holidays in very generic terms. Because again, I want to express to you that every day with the Lord ought to be a holy day, dedicated to Him. And really, I'm thankful for specific holidays only because we as fleshly human beings who are so forgetful, it really, at least I believe the intent is that we would have a way to remind ourselves to once again focus on Him. We need those reminders, don't we? Number one, I want to point out the absolute holiness of the Lord this morning. The absolute holiness of the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse number 1 says this, then he brought me back the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary which looketh toward the east, and it was shut. Then said the Lord unto me, this gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it, because the Lord, the God of Israel, hath entered in by it, therefore it shall be shut. It is for the prince, he shall sit in it to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate and shall go out by the way of the same. The absolute holiness of the Lord is established in these verses, there are some prophetic things in place here, and we will look at some of those things, but what is being established here is that God has a standard for those that would come into His presence. There's an absolute standard, and the standard of the Lord is absolute holiness. He is absolutely holy. Isaiah chapter 54, and verse number 5. Isaiah 54 and verse number 5 is absolute holiness. For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. He was called thy redeemer and called the Holy One of Israel. And the Bible says that one day he would be called the God of the whole earth. He is called holy. And then we look at Luke chapter 1, verse number 35. These passages that we'll be reading more often as we get closer to the Christmas holy day. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 35 says this, "And the angel answered and said unto her," to Mary, "the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee." Notice the term, the Holy Ghost. "And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Then we find out a little bit more in the prophetic scriptures in Isaiah chapter 9, a very, very familiar passage concerning a certain prince who is absolutely holy. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it," notice this, "with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Do you understand this kingdom of which this Prince of Peace will preside? This is a kingdom that will have fully judgment and fully justice. There will be no unrighteousness that will be allowed in the kingdom when the Prince comes to take his rightful place through that eastern gate. Why? Because there's a highlight here to the absolute holiness of the Lord. God shuts the gate. Same way that God shut the door. And this is one thing that we need to be reminded concerning the holiness of the Lord God. There is a point in time where God says, enough. Judgment comes on those who have forsaken me, those who have rebelled, those who have disobeyed. Judgment falls. And do you remember when God shut the door of the great ark? Judgment came. Why? Because God is absolutely holy. We see His absolute holiness, but number two in the passage, we see the answer of the Lord to the rebels. The answer of the Lord to the rebels. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse number 4 says this, "Then brought he me the way of the north gate before the house. And I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. And I fell upon my face. And the Lord said unto me, Son of man, mark well, and behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears all that I say unto thee, concerning all the ordinances of the house of the Lord and all the laws thereof. And mark well the entering in of the house with every going forth of the sanctuary. And thou shalt say to the rebellious, Even to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, O ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations, in that ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers. By the way, that word sanctuary is a sacred place. And to come into the presence of God, that is a sacred place. And he says, you've brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh. Notice both of those. To be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when you offer my bread, the fat and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. And ye have not kept the charge of mine holy things, but ye have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuaries. Notice this. For yourselves. In other words, it was all about you. We better be careful when coming into the sanctuary or the presence of God, be that in a congregational sense or be that individually, that it doesn't become all about us. And it seems like all over the world, and we're sort of reminded about this in the scriptures and warned about it, that men would be lovers of themselves. And we want the assembly and coming into the presence of God, we want it to be all about us in this seeker-sensitive generation. I'm here to tell you, it's not all about us. It is still all about Him. He said, but what you've done is you've basically employed leaders for yourselves that would take charge of the sanctuaries the way that would be comfortable for you. That's the reason why a whole lot of quote-unquote mega churches are filled or attended, I should say it that way. Maybe a lot of them aren't filled this morning because of all the COVID situation going on. But more and more, those type of places get filled up because so often it's about you. And we're not going to preach about the holiness of God. We're not going to preach about sin and wickedness and profane things and unclean and clean. We're just going to come tell you a little bit about how God loves you and God wants your life to be full of purpose and all of that. Folks, that's not the God of the Bible, I'm here to tell you. The answer of the Lord to rebels, he calls them rebels. He continues there in the beginning, I say he continues, really started this way. But in Ezekiel chapter 2, this is really how the message gets started. And I feel sorry for these Old Testament prophets, the messages that they were given to preach. Ezekiel 2:1, and he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. Oh, that sounds good and fun. Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to, yes, God, where you got me going? The children of Israel to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Boy, that's encouraging. Chapter 3, verse number 4. He said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, speak with my words unto them, for thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. May I say this? It would seem like, from the context of these verses, it might have been somewhat easier had he sent them to somebody that was of a hard language or a strange speech. Religious folks seemingly are the hardest to be won, are they not? Those that don't know anything about God, those that are simple concerning the Lord, they sometimes are the easiest to put their faith and trust. We here in the United States of America, we are so blessed with the gospel that we've become hardened like Israel so often. God says, not to many people, Ezekiel 3:6, of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. And as an adamant harder than flint, a very hard rock, have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear. These folks are in captivity. They've got it bad. They're in this Chaldean, this Babylonian captivity. You would think that they would be hearkening to anything that the Lord had to say to them. But the problem was not the captivity on the outside. It was the captivity on the inside. They were bound by their sin, by their rebellion, by their wickedness. He says in Ezekiel chapter 44, three things to this group of rebels. He says, number one, set your heart to my word. He says to them, mark well. He says it twice. Mark well. Behold with thine eyes and hear with thine ears all that I say. Mark well. What does that mean? It means set your heart. Focus your heart. Turn your heart back to my word. To my ways. To my law. To my ordinances. Set your heart to my word. Number two, he says, suffice your abominations. Now, we wouldn't quite say it that way, but notice there again in verse number six, he says, O ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations. And all he's saying is, now or when, as you get your heart set to my word, it's time to put away the abominable things, those things that I by the way, God's going to start to kind of show and spell out what exactly those things are. They were both things inward and things outward as well. God can see both. Now, mankind, we can only look on the outward, and people love to quote that verse, the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for God looketh on the heart. And really, that's a very damning thing when you look at the perspective of what God actually sees. Man only sees the outside. And thank God for that. Thank God you can't see all the things that are going on in the inside of Pastor Taylor this morning and so many times, because it's not good. Neither is it for you. But God sees it all. And there are some abominations in Christian people, I'm afraid, in our heart this morning that no man can see, but God sees it very well. Set your heart to my word. Suffice your abominations. Put those things away. Number three, stand in your place of service. Notice verse number 10, Ezekiel 44, and the Levites that are gone away far from me when Israel went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. Now notice what God goes on to say. Yet, they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having charge at the gates of the house and ministering to the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them, because they ministered unto them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore have I lifted up mine hand against them, saith the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity. In other words, God says, I'm still going to have them serve, but it's going to be in a different capacity, and folks are going to see publicly how they've gone away from me and been astray as ministers. Verse number 13, and they shall not come near unto me. Now remember verses 1 through 4, we read it over and over again. God said, near, near, inside, close, He's talking about being close to him. He says about this group here, they are not to come near unto me. You stay out there with the people, the same old rebellious folks, you get out there with them. They shall not come near unto me to do the office of a priest unto me, nor to come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place. But they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed, but I will make them keepers of the charge of the house for all the service thereof and for all that shall be done therein. Listen to me this morning. These folks who had gone away, these priests who had gone away from leading the people the way that God would have them lead and making sacrifices on behalf of the people the way that God would have them do it. These folks that were involved in idolatry, God said, you're going to serve, but you're going to serve on the outer skirts of my presence. You're not going to be close to me. You're going to bear your shame. It's shameful for a believer not to have been close and in the presence of God and to follow God and to obey God and to serve God. And God said, you'll bear your shame as a priest. You won't be near me. But he says you're going to stand in your place of service. I thank God for his grace and mercy, because once we are priests in the household of faith, we're never cast out from being a priest. But the point is here that there are different places and positions of service according to God's presence. And if we're not careful about this aspect of the holiness of God, we would find ourselves far away from the inner presence of the Lord, bearing our shame and our iniquity, because we've gone away from the things that God called us to. The absolute holiness of the Lord, the answer of the Lord to the rebels. Here's the message this morning. Number three, the access of the Lord to the faithful. The access of the Lord to the faithful. Ezekiel 44:15. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me. Notice this is a select group. This is a small group. This is a remnant of a group. When we find ourselves as Christian people because of our stand for the Lord and for His holiness, when we find ourselves in a small select group, we're probably in pretty good company. They shall come near to me. Notice he said just a little while ago, those other priests, I don't want them anywhere around me. Get them away from me. Let them be with the people out there. Same people they led in their rebellion. They shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. There's a special access that the Lord gives to these sons of Zadok that just stood faithful when all these other priests decided that they would start leading and living their lives along the fancies and the whims of the people. These sons of Zadok said, no, we still believe that God is holy, and we're going to continue to be faithful to serve Him irregardless. Who doesn't anymore? And because of that, God gives access. Now, we understand in this New Testament time and based on the great sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 18, Ephesians 3, 11 and 12, all those passages talk about the access that we have based upon that sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. I'm so thankful that every believer has access to God. But what that simply means is we're able to come to Him. What we need to know and be reminded about is God's not going to allow us to get close to Him without us paying attention to His holiness. You've got access this morning. I've got access this morning. Yes, if we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, but don't you think I'm just going to snuggle up close to my Father and He's just going to be at every beckoning call and He's just going to do all sorts of great things in my life, but I care nothing for His holiness. Friend, we better wake up. God is holy. He speaks to them about personal holiness. I don't have time to expound all these, but the Holy Ghost of God will do a great job. Verses 17 through 22, notice a little bit of it, and it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments. Now, wait a minute, Lord, why does their clothing matter? Isn't it all about the heart? Isn't it all about the sacrifice? Isn't it all about the place of the sanctuary, the tabernacle, or the temple? No, God says if you're going to get close to me, something that is on the outside, namely clothing, comes into play. We better wake up as believers where anything goes in this day and age, whereas people wear whatever they want to wear and they think somehow they can be close to God. We better wake up. Notice verse number 20. Neither shall they shave their heads nor suffer their locks to grow long. They shall only poll their heads. Now, hair is coming into play. God tells us in the New Testament, a shame unto a man if he has long hair. And He says to the ladies, you don't cut off your hair. It's a covering unto you. We can listen to the world if we want in these areas, but I'm telling you, God's been telling us a long time, I look at these matters and they are a part of the holiness of God. 21, neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court. I'll just say this about that. God cares what we put in our bodies. God cares. What we put in this temple, you realize we're not only a priest in this New Testament time, we are the temple. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you're bought with a price. Neither, 22, shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away. Now, folks, I'm just reading you the scriptures. You can look through all of this. Some of this seems very, very stringent. Boy, God, you've got some very high standards. Absolutely right. This set of scriptures here has to do with relationship. God wanted these priests that were going to come near to Him to be in proper relationships with others. Not shacking up, not living like we're husband and wife, not being an adulteress and fornicator type situations, not being unequally yoked either as believers or even unbeliever and believer, or as believers who one's going a completely different direction than the other. All these things apply to those that God said, you'll be able to come near to me. Personal holiness, He goes on, verse number 25, and they shall come at no dead person to defile themselves, but for father or for mother or for son or for daughter, for brother or for sister that hath had no husband, they may defile themselves. Boy, God, you are really, really stringent in all these details and these rules that you have. You say, how do you think this applies to us in this day and age? How much time do we spend with those that are spiritually dead? And the stench and the stink rubs off on us because evil communications certainly corrupt good manners. It all has to do with personal holiness. And God demanded it of these sons of Zadok that we're going to get close to Him. Not only personal holiness, we got to hurry. Number two, prophetic holiness. Verses 23 and 24, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in controversy, may I say this? There are some so-called controversial issues in our day. Christian people ought to stand in the controversial issues where God stands. Oh, there's controversy about that, Brother Taylor, Pastor Taylor. There's controversy about that. We better figure out which side God is on. Controversy, they shall stand in judgment. They shall judge it according to my judgments. And they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. My holy days, they are to make holy, and they are to cause the people to be able to see a difference between that which is right and that which is wrong, that which is wicked and that which is righteous. They are to be able to see that through these priests. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31 through verse number 33. I've been learning some verses with Kevin Downing Jr., and they've been such a blessing to me. This is one of the passages. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Then he says, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Yes, the two go together. As we seek to put God first, as we seek to honor and glorify Him in every area, then we shift our focus, and with that in mind, go to others and prophesy about how good God is. Pleasing all men and all things that they might be saved. Show the people the difference. Christian people ought to be able to show the difference and tell the difference. We don't like to be different. Folks, I don't like to be different. I know you don't like to be different. That goes against our flesh and our humanity. But what we need to do is simply stick to the statutes and the ordinances and the judgments and the laws of God. And if it makes us different, we should be different. I don't care who says the standard has changed. It doesn't matter. Personal holiness, prophetic holiness. And then this is just such a blessing to my soul. The possessions of holiness. This is so beautiful and wonderful. I think many of us would look at it as actually a negative thing. But to me, when you look at it right, it's so positive. Ezekiel 44:28. And it shall be unto them for an inheritance. Now what shall be unto them for an inheritance? If you look at verse number 27, he talks about the sin offering. He says, that which has been sacrificed in the house of the Lord, that is going to be their inheritance. In other words, they're not going to go out and kill their own meal. We'll read a little bit more about this in just a second. They're not going to go out and work for their own food. Basically, I am going to supply their need through the sacrifices that others bring. They're going to have to rely solely on me. There's no better way to go through life than solely relying on the Lord. By the way, isn't that what the early pilgrims had to do? Solely rely on the Lord. And was the Lord faithful? He's always faithful. I am their inheritance. This is what it's really all about. And ye shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. These folks don't have a place to call their own. They don't have a city to call their own. They don't have any boundaries. This is my property and my lot. No, I'm their possession. The house of God is their possession. The food that comes through the sacrifices of the house of the Lord, that's what's for them. You say, that sounds kind of negative. No, that just means they were able to totally rely on the Lord to supply their needs. God is always faithful. Even in a pandemic, even when there's a lack of this or that, and we really haven't seen bad times in our country, maybe we will somewhere down the road. Maybe we'll have to get to the point where we truly pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, and really understand what that's all about. But may I say, if and when we get to that point, do you know that God will be faithful to those who esteem His holiness? Those who do not, God may say, well, go out and get your own. You didn't care anything about my laws and ordinances and standards. Yeah, you're still a child, but I'm not going to work for you the way I work for these others. This is the God of the Bible. We love quoting verses like Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added." We love that part. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Holiness. And then God says, all these things will be added unto you. God is faithful to supply our needs, to work in our behalf. These are possessions of holiness. I'm not saying that if holiness, the holiness of God, is not high in our hearts and minds this morning, that we are not a child of God. These other priests, they were still priests, and they still served. But they didn't serve close to the Lord. They didn't have the presence of God the way that these that stayed faithful to God did. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. We'll close this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. We need a revival of holiness. No better time to get it started, revive it, than in the holy days. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness. You say, now, man, that just seems like that's hard to accomplish. Seems like the two don't go together very good. Romans chapter 14, verse number 19. He says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. What God is really saying is this: the thing that really counts in every single life, by the way, every life matters, and the thing that counts or matters in every life is a relationship with God. That is number one. That's why when folks say things like this life matters or that life matters, I always ask a couple questions. To whom and for what purpose? Who does the life matter to and for what purpose? God wants to be glorified. He demands it. By the way, he's able to. He's perfect. This is his show. He owns it all. So yeah, the life matters, but to whom and for what purpose? And so often we give lives, we check them off to groups and to people who care nothing about the life. They care nothing like God does. He cared so much, he gave himself on their behalf. A holy God. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Notice this. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. By the way, profane means you can either lower God's standards down to our standard, down to a standard that is not as high, or it can actually be talking about something that is just out and out wicked. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And folks are willing to do that. We approach the holidays and all we really think about is food. I'm preaching to myself this morning. But life is more than just eating and drinking and being merry. Life is about him. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, notice that, inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Folks, that's not talking about salvation. It's simply talking about the blessings of God in his life that were due to him in the context of Hebrews chapter 12. And all I'm saying this morning is this: God wants to bless us so that on Thanksgiving, we truly do enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, and we really do count our blessings and name them one by one. God wants to do that, but he's not going to overstep the bounds of his holiness in order to get it done. And we shouldn't expect him to. So what we got to do is we've got to put the holy back in the holidays. And really, that's every day. We just need to recognize God for who he is. And in 2020, again, I don't care what Christian group or what brother. I've got a brother that I love, a Christian brother that I love. And he says, I'm leaving. And what he means by that is I'm leaving the independent Baptist movement. And names all these things, the reason why he's leaving. Brother, you're going to have to throw out a whole lot of Bible. I'm not saying we got issues. There's some issues. But this matter of holiness still matters to God. And it needs to matter to us. Let's pray together this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You would say, Pastor Taylor, there's been a time, a place in my life where I realized that I was a sinner, realized that there was no way to approach God except by holiness, and no one accomplished that perfectly the way that Jesus Christ did. He was the sacrifice by which we could approach God. And I can't say that I know for sure that Christ is my Savior, that he's my Lord, that I've believed on him, that I've received him into my heart and my life, but I'm concerned about it today. Would you pray for me? Is there one like that? Could I pray for you? Could I pray for you? Maybe there's somebody here today, as a believer, you would say, Pastor Taylor, I've just gotten away from seeing this aspect of the Lord's attribute, the holiness of God. And how that I need to be seeking after holiness in a real way, a practical way in my own life. That the standards both within and without need to be God's standards. God spoke into my heart this morning. Is there one like that? God spoke into my heart this morning. His hands up. Let's pray together this morning. Father, I pray that you'd bless this time of invitation. I pray that you'd make this message meaningful to us. We'd have a revival in our churches of the holiness of God. And we'd realize it really does make a difference in how close we get to our God. Yes, we have access, but we want to be close to you, and you will not allow us to overstep your holiness in getting close to you. Help us this morning. I didn't see any hands concerning salvation, Father, but if there is one here who doesn't know you as their personal Savior, please help them to not put it off. Help them to realize their need right now and help them to be willing to come. Let somebody take a Bible, show them what they need to know. Let them be willing to turn from their way and their sin to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?